Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Ted Santos, and I am your co-host of The Creative Alchemist, and we come to you live every Thursday, and we talk to you about business, your business, and even the business of your business that you haven't even considered. We've taken on topics like the new year, managing money. We've taken on leadership, project management. We've taken on an array of topics, even your health in this kind of weather. We've even had authors on this show. And as always, we have a guest, and tonight will be no different. And before we introduce the guest, you have to know that I never take this journey alone. You have to meet my co-host, Lori. Let them know you're here.
Hi, everyone. It's Lori Miller from LGC Interior Design. Thank you for joining us for another episode, and not just another episode. It's our 50th episode tonight, starting at the start of the pandemic. So we're super excited. We have 1,100 listeners, and people have actually gotten business from being our guests. So it's been a super exciting ride, right? And that's my ride or die partner. And tonight, I'm super excited, again, super, super excited to announce our guest, Sue Phillips, who has made a business out of perfumes, or fragrances, actually, I think is the correct term. So we get to hear the journey, how she started, how I found Sue, and about her book as well, and how she's turned fragrances into a business. So, Sue, welcome. Thank you so much for being our guest. And I'm really
Thank
looking
you.
Forward to hearing this.
Hello, Lori. Hello, Ted. Thank you so much. And happy birthday. What a wonderful occasion.
Yes. And you're celebrating it with us. So thank you.
Absolutely.
And we'll drink
happy
a virtual
yes.
toast of champagne.
Yes.
And
I
don't
love
forget
that.
The candle. Don't forget the candle.
Yep.
Of course. No. Candles.
Yes, candles, battery operated. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm actually going to be celebrating a wonderful anniversary on March the 21st, which is Monday. And it is the anniversary of my coming to America.
Oh, my God. Congratulations.
Thank you. And who would have thought that, should I give you the year, how many years it is?
Yeah.
It's 40 years I've been in America.
Wow.
And I came as a very young girl from South Africa. And I've
Sounds
spent
like a
more
movie.
Years. Exactly. I spent more years in America than I did in South Africa, but I still have a little bit of an accent. And when I speak to my South African friends, they say to me, I have an American twang. So it's interesting. But I came to America because I was actually interested in pursuing a career in theater. And my brother was living here, and I came on vacation. And lo and behold, I was able to parlay that into staying here. I worked for an immigration attorney. I got my green card and did theater at night, and then it landed up in the cosmetic industry.
Amazing. And what a journey that's been.
Yes, that has been.
Really?
I was thinking today, reflecting, and what I was thinking on today was reflections and milestones, reflecting on the companies I've worked with, Elizabeth Arden. I started my career there in training because I could stand up in front of people and speak, and they thought that would be great for training. And then I was in product development and marketing. And then after 6 years, I was recruited to go to Lancome to be marketing director of fragrance and men's skincare. And 4 years later, I got a call from a headhunter to have an interview for the position of vice president of marketing for Tiffany. And I landed up creating and developing the Tiffany perfume for their 150th anniversary. And so all these wonderful milestones are quite interesting right now. And then I started my own company called Scentiprises. I created fragrances for Burberry and Trish McAvoy and Avon. And then in 2008, when the economy basically took a dive, I re-engineered and rethought my situation and started to think about bespoke fragrances. And that was a term that not too many people knew about. And it's really all about customization. And I started the first custom fragrance atelier, if you will, in New York City 12 years ago. And last year they sold the building, so I changed and I'm now in a beautiful boutique as a sort of in the Vanessa Knoll shoe boutique on the Upper East Side. And another milestone, my book was just published on Friday. So this is a very wonderful occasion celebrating birthdays and milestones and my new book.
Congratulations.
Absolutely.
On your book.
And yes.
You have to tell us about it this evening.
Yep.
Well, I would be thrilled to. So the name of the book is The Power of Perfume, How to Choose It, Wear It, and Enjoy It. And it's really a trip down fragrance memory lane for me, all about the history of fragrance, how it makes you feel, how to wear it, you know, what the difference is between whether it's perfume or eau de parfum, eau de toilette, or eau de cologne. Not many people know the difference. And it's I think, fun, interesting reading, and it answers a lot of questions. I take you through fragrance through the decades. I talk about ingredients. I talk about how fragrance is definitely aligned with romance and sex and sensuality, and, you know, where to wear perfume. And so it's an interesting, fun reading, and I think it would give people a lot of insights into this beautiful, wonderful sense of smell that we work with.
I think it's awesome. And then a portion of the proceeds is going to Alzheimer's, correct?
Yes. So that is something very near and dear to my heart, you know, for several reasons. Fragrance and memory are so connected. Our
yes.
most powerful sense is our sense of smell. And Laurie, I'm sure, Ted, you might have walking into a room or walking down the street or going somewhere where you smell a fragrance that immediately takes you back to a palpable memory. And that is
yes.
because our olfactive hub is really tied to our sense of smell and the brain. And so, sadly, my mother, who was an amazing artist, suffered from dementia. And I saw what devastation it caused for her, for us, for other people who suffered the same way. So I've done many, many fundraising events for Alzheimer's Association, and I really try and raise awareness about Alzheimer's through fragrance and to give people an understanding how fragrance is so important, it's so powerful.
It's yeah, it is. It's very important. And also, Sue, I relate because my dad had Alzheimer's, so, and I know how ridiculously hard it is and how important, you know, it is to
yeah.
raise funds because there's so limited knowledge and treatment. So kudos to you for
exactly.
finding a really good cause, and thank you on, you know, my behalf. Thank you.
Of course. Thank
so,
you for
yes.
recognizing that.
Yes. No, it is huge, and I can't wait to purchase it and to get other people to purchase it. Hear that, audience? So, yeah.
Well, you know, Mother's Day is coming up in May, and this would be a wonderful gift for you to give to your mothers, because how many mothers love fragrance? All of our mothers love fragrance, and I'm sure they have their own favorite fragrances that they grew up with. You know, Chanel certainly was one. So many beautiful fragrances, and I talk about different fragrances through the decades, and even how social and economic and political trends influenced fragrance, and why they became so representative of the decades. So I'm sure you all remember Giorgio Beverly Hills in the 80s. That was a
yeah.
huge,
mm-hmm.
big, bold fragrance, and that was the time. And then in the 90s, everything sort of had a reverse effect. Everything was really much more sort of discreet, and so the fragrance was also very watery and very ozonic and very natural. So there are certain milestones that we can detect through fragrance. Why are certain fragrances so important at certain times? And there are so many trends that influence fragrance. So you'll have to get the book to read why.
Yeah. How interesting. Now, I guess, had been introduced, you know, to your work you were speaking on the topic of fragrances. And one of the things that stuck out to me was, how do you put your perfume on? And people dab it behind the ears. They, you know, spray it on their wrists. One of the things I had initially heard was you spray it and then you walk into it. But you had something very different to say about that.
Yes. Yes. So thank you for bringing that up. I really believe that that is such a no-no. And I'll tell you why. So there are several practical reasons. You know, today, so many products are fragranced. We have fragrance shampoo, fragrance hairspray, fragrance conditioner, fragrance gel. And you put all those on your hair, and then you're in the shower, and you're bathing, and you're using soap and gel. So suddenly you come out and you've got a beautiful perfume, maybe that's been made for you or that's been given to you as a gift, which could be very expensive. And you've got all these other fragrances sort of milling around your hair and your body, and suddenly you put your own beautiful perfume on, and it's really going to detract from the perfume, and it's going to not mix well with it. So a lot of people say to me, Sue, you know, the fragrance doesn't last. Well, if you have so many competing products, how is that beautiful perfume that might cost $100 or $200 or $300 or $400 going to compete with a $9.99 shampoo or a $12.99 conditioner or hairspray? So I always suggest that people try and use unscented products for bathing or showering. It's hard because I know shampoos and conditioners are fragranced these days, but don't. And so the other thing is, by spraying fragrance in the air, you're giving the air the beauty of fragrance, and it's not doing anything for you, and it's a waste of product as far as I'm concerned. So we always say wear fragrance on clean, unscented, moisturized skin, and it acts as a canvas, and so it will adhere to your skin and last a lot longer than spraying it in the air and walking into it. Does that make sense for you?
Yep, it absolutely does, without a doubt. Ted, how do you put your cologne on?
Believe it or not, I have not worn cologne in a long time.
Why is that, Ted? Why is that?
Well, I think you and I spoke about it. Remember, I said the aroma that I find so pleasant is the smell of the jungle. The smell of clean dirt. So there's this naturalness. I think I said to you, I was Tarzan in the city. I lived in the jungle. So.
All right, ladies, well, Ted is not married.
And I'm not married.
I understand that. I love those earthy, mossy aromas, too, I must admit. I do.
That's so funny. So you have a quiz on, I believe it's your website?
Yes.
On what your fragrance is.
Yes, so you can take the quiz, go to the website, and it's on scentaprizes.com, and it says start the quiz. And what it does is it really helps people understand what fragrance family or olfactory family they like. It is absolutely correct. I've updated the quiz, you know, over the years when certain celebrities and certain iconic figures I felt needed to be updated and changed. But essentially, it's a lifestyle quiz. It really helps determine, you know, what your lifestyle is. Are you casual, sophisticated? Are you playful? And that equates to, are you sporty? Do you like florals? Do you like spicy fragrances or woodsy fragrances? And by taking the quiz, it asks, you know, just very interesting questions. There's only one question about fragrance there. And when we get the results, we analyze your results, and then we create a fragrance for you and send it to you. So I have had amazing response because, you know, people say, well, how can you create a fragrance if you can't smell it? Well, just understanding people's personality and their sort of preferences, whether they like, you know, green or red or pink or blue or yellow, tells me something about their characteristics and tells me something about their preferences. So I'm very involved in synesthesia. I really can understand the correlation between colors and scent and sounds. So it's the scent quiz is fun. It doesn't take long, and it really reveals a lot about your fragrance family and the fragrance preferences.
So, which I find just so interesting. And, you know, the other thing that I really, you know, I was dying to ask you is, you know, it's not just that you've created something that's personal for one person. You know, you've created Tiffany fragrance. You've, you know, Estee Lauder.
Burberry.
You've just,
yes.
Burberry, and like all of these phenomenal fragrances. So, I mean, how do you even begin to determine what's going to appeal to the masses?
Well, that's a great question because, you know, it all goes to the core attributes of the brand. And it works for people, too. If you are, you know, creating a custom fragrance, that's why I give people the quiz. It's a way to determine what their core essence is. And so when you create a fragrance for a brand, you really need to understand what is the brand ethos, who is it targeting towards, what is the positioning, is it an upscale luxury brand, is it something a little bit more sort of more appealing to the masses, or is it a sort of middle of the road fragrance, and where is it going to be sold? Well, today, everything is being sold online, so it becomes sort of very interesting how certain iconic luxury brands have to really maintain and project their positioning and their brand ethos online. And so that's how we start. We start with the core essence of the brand, and we create a profile. It's almost like a roadmap. You know, what is the brand? Where is it going to be sold? Who is it appealing to? What is the demographic? Who is it, you know, men or women? Is it both? What is the age group? You know, what is their income? It's all these questions that you have to ask. And if you have a luxury brand that you want to create a fragrance for, you would not want to put it in the mass market arena because it just doesn't tie in. And the same is true for a fragrance or any kind of product that really has much more of a mass appeal. It wouldn't belong, say, in Bergdorf Goodman because it's very different and the positioning is very different. So those are some of the sort of areas of marketing and positioning and branding that we discuss and we delve into when you start to create a fragrance or any product, actually.
Right, which is also so fascinating because so many of those brands have multiple fragrances. So, and I guess that's the same thing as marketing. When you're a service business, it doesn't mean that you have just one type or one profile of a client. You can have multiple clients, but to get the profile right is what's important.
Well, yeah, that's also true. You know, so many brands also have secondary lines and, say, a sporty line. So you might have a designer who is very upscale with a very high-end clientele, but then they will also possibly create something a little bit more attuned with a sort of more of a mass market, more of a wider audience.
Mm-hmm.
And they would call it, you know, like, you know, for instance, Calvin Klein, and then he came in with CK1. So it was taking the brand and then almost diffusing it, and they would call it a diffusion line. So it wouldn't be the same positioning. It would be a different positioning under the house of the brand.
So many things that go into it.
Different demographics, basically, right?
Yes, it's demographics. That is one of the aspects, definitely. And today, you know, with everything being sold online, I think that is less important these days. You still want people to be aware of what they want. But, you know, now it's all about social media and customization. For instance, we're all, every one of us is a brand. We have Instagram, we have YouTube, we have all these selfies going on, and now we have Clubhouse, and people are, you know, people can reflect their brand through their voices, their faces, their images, and how they look, how they sound. And so everybody today can be a brand. And so, you know, what we do is we really try and enhance their brand essence by creating a beautiful custom fragrance that's made for them, because why wear what everybody else wears when you can actually create your own?
Oh, that is so true. Now, in addition to fragrances, and of course this comes from the interior design perspective, do you also create like candles and different scents for the home, or have you stuck primarily to, I guess, the body fragrances?
Well, I have stuck mostly to perfumes, but I have been able to do some body lotions, small amounts. If somebody would like a fragrance that maybe they don't want to wear a strong perfume, we have been able to take the fragrance that they've created and sort of put it in a base, which is a cream or a lotion. One of the things that we are looking to do this year is do a line of candles, because it ties into, you know, accelerating and really offering different product offerings to the consumer. Everyone's staying at home. Fragrance is such a way of uplifting and positivity and confidence and really helping people feel better. So we like to pamper them. And one way of doing that is through home fragrances.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We definitely need to talk because that's one of the things I teach about is using, you know, your senses when you're designing your home and making sure that on every level, you know, it hits how you feel and creating that mood. And, you know, if you're balancing your chakras, why wouldn't you balance your home? So, you know, it's kind of like the same premise for me. So, it, you know, and if you are wearing a fragrance that smells good, why wouldn't you want a candle or something that smells good in the house? So,
well, you know,
that, yeah.
The other thing that is, it's so important, Laurie. I know that you do so much beautiful interior design work. That is also such an important aspect of building your brand persona. You know, how, what does your home look like? And even looking at different rooms and coming up with a different color theme for every room.
Right.
And so I love doing that. In fact, I developed a line when I was doing consulting at Avon, and it was a concept and a sort of a real positioning of what beauty begins at home and how your home is a reflection of your own individual persona. So I agree, colors and fragrances and textures are so important. I would love to talk to you about that.
Yeah, so fun. See, this show is so good for so many people.
It is.
We just love our guests.
Lovely. Thank you for inviting me to be here. I appreciate it.
Oh, no, this is awesome. You know, and it's such, I mean, we all partake in some sort of fragrance. So, and you're so knowledgeable. And to be successful and make a business at fragrances is so huge. You know, and Ted and I really thought that it would, you know, it's great for our listeners who are entrepreneurs on how to get, you know, your passion to be a business. And you're definitely passionate about what you do.
Yes, it really does emanate from within, I have to say. People say to me, and have said to me for so long, Sue, you work so hard. And maybe it's that I give off, but honestly, I really love what I do. And I think you have to love what you do, because if you don't, then it's really work. And we all have stress, and we all have anxiety, and we all have difficulties during the day, the week, the month, whatever. But, you know, it's that get up and go. If you really love what you do, no matter how difficult it is, you'll find a way just to, you know, deal with the issues and go back to what you love. I really do love what I do. And I love the fact that it's so varied. You know, I've had my own business for 31 years. And the fact that I've been able to navigate in the corporate world and, you know, with people who love fragrances and doing beautiful corporate and team building events and creating fragrances that really appeal to people, and then also creating fragrances for celebrities and doing interviews and television. And, you know, it's fun. I love that. I wouldn't be able to do that in the corporate world. I'd have to stick in my own lane and then say, oh, no, you know, this is only what you have to do and somebody else is doing it. But I can do everything that I really love because I only have to deal with me.
Right. So true. When you're in the corporate world, you definitely have to stay in your lane.
Yes, you know, it's interesting. Lori, I have to tell you something interesting. When I first started in the corporate world, and I won't tell you which company, but my boss at the time, and, you know, I guess I've always had this creative, you know, part of me because I was in theater, I was acting and singing, and my mother was an actress and a singer and a musician. So I've always had art and music and, you know, cultural things and that kind of those elements in my blood. And so one day I was doing something or talking to my boss about all the things I wanted to do, and he said to me with such disdain, "Oh, Sue, you're such an entrepreneur." And I thought it was the worst. I thought it was the biggest insult. And
insult?
I was so mortified.
Wow.
I thought it was such an insult because he said to me, I was shattered because the way he said it was like, you know, I was doing something really bad and it didn't fit the corporate mold. Well, guess what? A few years later, when I had my own business, I actually trademarked the name Santrepreneur because I am an entrepreneur with sense. So take that, mister.
That's right. And as success, not only successful, you've written a book, you know, you're getting it out there. You're amazing. You're really a great role model.
Thank you. I thank you for that. I do love, I used to teach at FIT and LIM College. I was the adjunct professor of fragrance marketing, and it was really fun to speak to young people and to give them an overview about what they liked. And I always said to them, you know, if you really love something, do what you love. Don't just follow the road that maybe your parents say, go and become a doctor or an engineer. If that is not your desire, then it's important to find what you like, because if you become a doctor or an engineer and if that's not your forte, so to speak, you won't enjoy it at all. So I really think it's important, and especially in this day and age during COVID, people really have to find something that they love so that they can feel better, and they can feel better and feel confident and positive and give that aura, reflect that aura to the people that they're, you know, involved with.
Yep, absolutely. I think that was one of our first, what do you call it, Ted, like our podcast. So, and it was, you know, reinventing yourself, because all of a sudden people were like stopped dead in their tracks, and they had an opportunity to sit back and say, what do I really want with my life? Like, this is not what I thought. And if they loved their business, they were able to, you know, and I use the word pivot, right? Because they were able to change it and make the business work for them. But a lot of people reinvented themselves and are doing something so different. I have a girlfriend who traveled forever, and she just wrote a book. You know, it's like, this is great.
Well, you know, I grew up in South Africa, and yes, I was surrounded by art and music and theater, and I was 10 years old when I was in my first play, and it was similar to a Broadway play. It was a British comedy, and one of the roles was for a young 10-year-old girl, and because I was school age, I couldn't do it every single night. So the theatrical guild said that we have to have two other young girls. So we alternated the role, and it went on for 4 months. So here I was at 10 years old in a Broadway-type play, and that got me, you know, the bug for acting. And then I was singing. And so I always had one path. I was going to be a singer and an actress, and I was in South Africa. And when I came to America, well, guess what? I didn't have the green card at that time. I didn't have an agent, and I didn't have the – I wasn't a member of the unions. So I sort of did some fun comedy and gigs at night and some of these sort of clubs, and it was fun. But I had to do something really to get my green card, and that's how I landed up at working in the cosmetic company. And so, you know, if you'd have told me 40 years ago that I'd write a book and I'd be a fragrance expert and I'd be making these fragrances favorite, I'd say, you're crazy. But it's happened,
right.
And I'm so excited.
We're excited, too. I mean, it's, you know, it gives us the value of something that's fun and knowledgeable and looked at so differently. And they even did in the museum, right? I think it was the Museum of Art where the exhibit is.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
We can talk about that, too.
Well,
most of our listeners don't know.
Right, and most people don't. You know, the thing is, most people don't think about scent or what fragrance means to them until they might walk past a garbage truck and something smells awful. And then they'll say, ooh, what is that? But, you know, on a day-to-day basis, people just don't think about it. But then you start to realize how important and how powerful our sense of smell is. You know, it's the one sense that connects taste and smell. So think about COVID. So many people have actually lost their sense of smell and taste, and they realize how crucial it is and how devastating it is when they don't have it. Because what happens is, you can't really enjoy food because you can't taste it, you can't smell it. So eating and dining are functional. You don't want to go out. You don't want to socialize because it's not enjoyable. If you can't enjoy and taste and touch and enhance the food. So what happens is people really retract and they get very depressed, and ultimately they, you know, just disappear and they don't want to be around. So think about the importance of our sense of smell and how it can relate to everyday moments, and it can change your mood, it can change your emotions, it can remind you of loved ones, it can, you know, just having a beautiful scarf that maybe your grandmother or your father, your mother might have had, and suddenly you smell that and it just brings back a flood of memories and these beautiful associations with somebody that you might miss or first kiss or anything like that. They're just these moments in your life that are suddenly brought to the forefront through our sense of smell.
It's so true. And it reminds me of, so I had my stepdaughter and we were in the city. I had taken her to Macy's and back in the day, right? I won't date my age. And we were going through the streets and we stopped at Carmine's and, you know, we were stopping to eat. And one of the, I guess the servers or the busboy walked by and he was wearing Curve.
Yes.
And it was like, it was when it first came out and it was the most amazing. And I chased through the restaurant and it was so crowded. It was like rush hour or 5 o'clock in the city. I chased the busboy down and I was like, what are you wearing? And she's like, I am so embarrassed. She's like, how could you do this to me? I mean, she must have been all of 11, right?
Right.
How could you do this to me? And I was like, but he smelled so good. And now, like, even, you know, to this day, she's like, I remember Curve. Yes,
yeah,
you do.
Exactly.
And
so,
you know,
that
it's a great
will ever be, exactly, forever be embedded in her brain.
Yep, poor child. I've ruined her.
Well, she'll either remember the shopping expedition with you at Macy's or how you embarrassed her, either one.
Right. Exactly, or both. But, yes, and that is, you know, to this day, it's still my favorite scent. As soon as I smell it, I'm like, oh, I know that smell. I know that scent. So, but it does. Exactly. It's true. It brings you right back to that day and or that minute or, you know, sometimes you hear people say, oh, it smells like my grandmother or my grandfather. Or, yeah, it's so important.
Well, and the reason they say that there are certain ingredients that we used, you know, 50, 60, 70 years ago that were really very indicative of those that time frame, you know, a beautiful rose fragrance, a rose floral fragrance can really sometimes remind people of an old lady because that's what they wore, you know, 70, 80 years ago. And the problem is that when, you know, your grandmother kissed you, you would smell the beautiful rose, say, for instance, and then you would always associate that. You know how many people tell me when they try and smell rose, they say, oh, it's an old lady. Well, the thing is that rose is making such a comeback now, and many people do really love rose, but they're maybe embarrassed to admit it because of that sort of negative association. So we actually have a beautiful rose floral fragrance that many men happen to like. And I think one of the things that I would say is, you know, keep an open mind. Just because something says it's a man's fragrance doesn't mean the scent is a male scent. It's just the marketing, the positioning. Many fragrances can be worn by women and by men. Women can wear cologne. Men can wear perfume. It's just the marketing. And I honestly think that people need to understand that there's no such thing as a masculine lemon or a feminine orange. You know, they are ingredients. That's what they are. And so the same is true for perfume. It's just how they're marketed and how they're concentrated and formulated, whether you want to say it's a fragrance for women, which might be a little bit more concentrated and bold, and a fragrance for men could be a little bit more sporty and light. But a lot of women love sporty and light fragrances too.
Yeah,
so
that's very true.
Why is it that certain fragrances smell different on certain people?
Well, we talk about the body chemistry and how certain fragrances do actually either agree with your body chemistry or they don't. I'll never forget once I was at Galeries Lafayette in France and they were just launching a new fragrance and it was all in the air and it smelled amazing in the air. And so I bought it and I sprayed it and 5-10 minutes later I was in the hotel room and suddenly it turned because there are certain ingredients and certain the way fragrances are formulated and we have a sort of a construction. Imagine a pyramid and we call it an olfactory pyramid. And what happens is perfumers sort of use this construction of top notes and middle notes and base notes. And the top notes are usually the lightest. They don't last long on the skin. They maybe last a half an hour on the skin. And they sort of entice you and they sort of wheel you in and you love the aroma of the top notes. And then it starts to mix with your body chemistry and the middle notes of the maybe the florals or the woodsy notes or the spicy notes come up. And you don't know what is in those notes. You've just probably been tantalized at the counter with the top notes. And so when you wear the fragrance and the middle notes and then the dry down of the heavier, deeper, longer-lasting notes emerge, sometimes there could be something in the concentration or the formula that just doesn't appeal to you. And you don't know that when you're at the counter buying it, but you know it when you were wearing it for 7 or 8 hours and suddenly say, oh my gosh, there's something in here that just doesn't suit me. And so that's why, you know, we really help people understand their olfactory family. And if, for instance, you don't like anything spicy, then you shouldn't wear a fragrance that has spice notes in it. And you probably won't know that unless you actually wear it and you really do some research.
Okay. So with that and said, are there certain fragrances, let's say for a woman, like certain fragrances that perhaps she shouldn't, that are not appropriate for the workplace, or that's just subjective, that's not a realistic thing?
That's interesting.
Well, that's a great question because what's happened is, you know, I've been in the fragrance industry so long and I have never had more comments about fragrances being giving headaches and allergies and not being appropriate than I have in the last, say, 5 to 8 years. And there are many fragrances that are being created that have a lot of volatile ingredients in them, a lot of synthetics, and there can be some synthetic chemical fragrances that are really beautiful, but some not. And a fragrance that is very, very powerful and very, very strong and that really diffuses a lot is not appropriate for the workplace. And some companies have actually forced that rule, don't wear fragrances, which is such a shame, because if you wear a fragrance that really suits you and you love it, it becomes your signature. And it's almost like saying, you know, don't wear your favorite outfit because, you know, it's too garish, and then you feel naked and you don't feel well-dressed. Fragrance should be a beautiful cloak. It should enhance you. It shouldn't define you, and it shouldn't sort of be – it's like you know, shouting, and it's like using capitals in text messages. It becomes just a little uncomfortable, and certain companies are saying, no, don't wear fragrances.
So could a fragrance be designed to sort of elicit the parts of the brain that are sexually motivated? So, so maybe a woman wears it to work and she notices that she gets different responses from men, except it's the fragrance itself that is sort of titillating some part of the brain. Is that am I just being like a man about this question, or tell me?
No, you're being, you know, what you're saying is that, yes, there are certain fragrances that are very enticing and very seductive and that are very, very arousing. And, you know, whether it suits you or not, it might be the fragrance that gives you those moments of fantasy and arousal and feeling amazing, and it all could be the woman, or could be a combination of both. And then, of course, that is sort of, you know, deadly killer for the guy because he doesn't know what to do. But
right.
Yes,
he's like, I'm just leaving the room. I can't be here.
Exactly. It's not appropriate for me to be there. And I will tell you that there's nothing better than getting a compliment on your fragrance when you are close to somebody and you hug them or you greet them or you kiss them or whatever it is, and they say, oh, you smell amazing, what are you wearing? You know then that that fragrance really suits you. It makes you feel confident. It makes you feel positive. It really reflects your individuality. And there's something very beautiful about that, as opposed to somebody who says, oh, my God, it's too strong. And then that's such a negative. And these days, through, as I said, you know, customization and technology and all the elements that are open to us to purchase fragrances online and in stores and just even to create your own, becomes something really pleasurable. It's something that people look to do to really have a beautiful scent experience.
So if you're a woman and you're
more, we have to get you more into fragrance, Ted. You see, we're starting to make you think about fragrance now. This is a good thing, right?
Yes. So if you're a woman and you're an attorney and you're doing a deal or you're in a court and you want to distract your opposition, you could wear a perfume that arouses them and just really throws them off. That could be a good strategy, right?
Well, I'm not going to answer yay or nay because somebody will tell me that I'm wrong. But I think it's like anything. You know, you wouldn't wear a very, very sexy outfit with a very low-cut décolleté and flashy jewelry and the highest of heels. And, you know, you wouldn't do that in court, I don't think, because it gives off sort of a different vibe, and it makes you think, well, are you going to the discotheque or are you going to the downtown, you know, the district court? So I think it's really important to be appropriate.
Have you been arrested?
Exactly.
After this, I'm getting a new co-host. Okay, thanks. Just kidding, Ted.
Okay.
Keep going, Ted.
I'm sorry, keep going. I couldn't pass that up. The opening was there. Sorry.
That's great.
Perfume, no one would see it. It would be like this invisible hand.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Well,
if you were going on a date, though, sorry, go ahead.
No. I always say that our fashion, how we look and how we dress, is our outer accessory, and our fragrance is our invisible accessory, and it can be almost like a stealth weapon, which is what you were saying.
Right.
You know? It can entice. It can seduce. It can just be magical, and it can stir up all kinds of feelings that people haven't had before.
Well, maybe I'm taking it too far, but if you're a woman and you're an attorney, it could make the opposition more agreeable with you.
Yes, but they probably will hear this and they'll say, please don't wear fragrance in court.
Exactly.
If you're on a date, then there are certain kinds of fragrances that you want to wear to sort of ensure that your date is aroused and really interested. And that would be for a man or a woman, correct?
Well, I always say the converse. I don't think you want to strategically, because you don't know what date, you know, if you haven't met your date or you don't know them, you don't know what will turn them on or really turn them off. I think what really turns people on is a feeling of confidence. If somebody is wearing a fragrance and an outfit and they look great and they feel great and it reflects who they are, then that is the aura that they are going to, you know, give off, and that is the aura that they are going to really feel reflect who they are, and it becomes more enticing and more seductive than a very strong or very overt perfume or cologne. So okay. I always say, you know, try and wear something that you really feel wonderful about, that reflects who you are, and that doesn't detract from your personality, but it enhances you.
Okay.
Yes, trying to stop running through playing Tarzan.
go ahead, Lori.
No, I just said, stop playing Tarzan. Running through the woods.
Man, you woman. Me, man, you woman.
Yes. Exactly. So I guess a question. What advice would you give to people who want to enter the industry?
What advice would I give to people? I'm sorry, I lost the last sentence, the last word.
Would you give to people who want to enter the industry? I mean, you've made it so appealing and so wonderful, and you're so passionate. Now, it's even a business I want to get into. You know, I'm sure all of our listeners are changing careers. So what advice would you give?
I'll be happy to talk to them. And, you know, ultimately, if this is something that you want to do, and if you feel that this is an area that you want to explore, you can become a perfumer. So becoming a perfumer really requires a lot of study. It requires thorough knowledge of organic chemistry, because a lot of people don't realize that fragrance is an art and a science. The scientific aspect is knowing which formulas and which ingredients to combine and put together. The art is knowing how to do it. And, you know, I would equate it to foods. When the chefs did that whole thing of Nouvelle Cuisine, it was so experiential. There were so many ingredients that we used in combination with each other that the chefs thought, well, these are very exotic, wonderful ingredients, but maybe it just didn't work well. So the same is true for fragrance, you know, taking certain notes that you know just won't work well together is not a good idea. So you have to study perfume, study organic chemistry, and then, you know, just try and explore what fragrances you like and how you like them, and then go to various stores and explore. And then, of course, there are some schools if you want to study. There are many of these fragrance schools that teach marketing and fragrance and branding. And if that is your passion, I would suggest, you know, look at that and see how you can do that. If you're growing up and, you know, you're at school age and then you're graduating and you want to figure out what is your career path, that's something you can do. You can also, you know, retail is so difficult now, but it used to be you can try and apply in retail and get into the cosmetic area. You know, anything that makes you, that makes one feel that they're on a path that they love and they're passionate about and that they can really do their best in, that's the advice that I would give.
That's awesome. And what types of fragrances do you like? You're still, you know, you're always asking people, what do you like? And you're, you know, giving them the quizzes. What do you like?
Well, I, you know, since I've created my own blends, my own formulas, I only wear my own perfume. I don't wear any other commercial fragrance, although when I was in the industry, I used to love many, many fragrances. I used to love some of the classic fragrances only because they were so distinctive and they were so, you know, really beautifully formulated with interesting ingredients, and they weren't just these, you know, light citrusy fragrances that don't have any structural body. And so I happen to love a fragrance called Cabochard by Madame Gray. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if they make it anymore, but it was one of these earthy, mossy, patchouli fragrances, which was just so, for me, enchanting and intoxicating. I loved it. And I do wear a combination of that. So the fragrances that I love, that I wear, I have my own combination, my own formula, which is a hint of, you know, some lovely fresh green leaves and green grassy notes, which is fresh cut green grass, which is such a beautiful fragrance. And I combine it with the beautiful rose and the gardenia. And then I sort of give it a little bit more bold and smoldering with some spicy and woodsy notes. And I wear that fragrance, and people have actually stopped me in the streets before they had were able to wear masks, before they had to wear masks. And people said, well, what are you wearing? So it's a bold, beautiful, well-formulated fragrance that reflects who I am.
So if you were going to describe, I guess, your scent, would you say it's spring, fall?
Probably. Okay. But I also say that because it has some light notes. But, you know, one of the things that I love is I love a fragrance that has the similarity throughout, that doesn't change with mm-hmm. time, that is not it's so different from the beginning to the middle and end. I love what I call a linear fragrance. So it really has the same staying power from beginning to middle and end, and that's what I love. So I would call it a bold floral oriental, a bold floriental.
That's lovely. Yeah, I got a picture of like an Asian kimono, like silk and floral and just that kind of luxurious glistening feel. So thank
yes.
you for describing it that way.
Sure.
That was my picture in my head.
What do you like to wear, Lori?
So I love Tiffany, believe it or not. That is one of my favorites. Tiffany, beautiful. And I used to love Cinnabar. I have not worn that in a long time. I haven't seen it in a long time. But, yeah, those were my three go-tos. And it depended on
mood. So what's so interesting, yes, what's so interesting about those three fragrances, they are so immediately evocative of an aroma of a brand. I mean, I know those fragrances, I know those brands, and they are beautiful. You know, Tiffany was very distinctive, a beautiful, beautiful floral. I worked on that fragrance with Jacques Poge, the chief perfumer from Chanel, and it was amazing. I loved that whole experience. You know, beautiful from Estee Lauder was also a very bold floral, a really lovely bold floral. And then Cinnabar was a spicy. It had a lot of spicy notes in it. So Mm-hmm. But they're very distinctive. I'm not sure so many fragrances today have that distinctive quality.
No, I don't think they do. I feel they're kind of watered down or overpotent. So there's no like middle ground, and there's not, like you were talking about natural fragrances, a lot of them now give me a headache, or I can't, like I can, you know, can't be in a car with somebody who's wearing some of them. I'll be like, oh no, I'm getting a migraine or so. And those are three that do not do that. So it's, you know, it's interesting to me.
Yeah.
So, and tell people how they can get a hold of you and how they can get your book again.
Okay. Well, thank you. So the book is called The Power of Perfume by Sue Phillips, and it's on Amazon and it's on Barnes and Noble. And if you buy it and you read it, please, I hope you'll give it a nice review. And you can reach me on my website, suephillips.com and centerprises.com. Scent obviously spelled S-C-E-N-T and then with enterprises. So centerprises.com and suephillips.com. And then I'm on the social media with Scentfully Sue on Instagram and Centerprises with Instagram and the real Sue Phillips, because I have so many, Facebook and of course LinkedIn. So I'm sure you'll find me, and I would love to hear from people if they've enjoyed this show and if they've enjoyed the interview. I would love to hear from them and see what they like in terms of fragrance.
Yeah, and we'll send you the link as well, so you can re-listen to it or, you know, hear or post it or whatever you want to do with it. Yeah,
thank you.
Great. Oh my God, you've been amazing guest, so informative. And I believe the museum has the fragrance exhibit permanently, or was it just like a pop-up?
No, I think it was a pop-up. I don't think that was I don't think it was full time. But you know, this weekend, Sunday and Monday, the 21st and the 22nd, is the National Fragrance Day. And so if anybody is interested in fragrance, we're going to put it on my website, but I think you have to register to enjoy it, but it's going to be really wonderful. There are many, many brands who are participating, and just go to thefragrancefoundation.org and you will see some links to that, I'm sure.
Oh, very cool. So it'll be a virtual event.
Yes, everything is virtual these days.
Oh.
But the good thing is that it is opening up. People are getting out and about. Restaurants are opening. We've had more people contact us to really come in and create their own fragrance, and I can do it in my perfume boutique, and I also can do it via Zoom and virtual experiences. So it's lovely to see spring is in the air and people are really feeling, you know, a little bit more positive and optimistic and wanting to get out and enjoy the good weather.
Right. Yep, absolutely. And you said it was fragrance.org?
The fragrancefoundation.org.
Oh, the fragrance foundation. I missed that.
Yes, the fragrance.
I'm fragrancefoundation.org. All right. For anyone who is looking for it, it's on my Facebook page.
Great.
So very cool. Oh, my God, Sue, you've been a wealth of information. Thank you so
thank you.
Much.
I appreciate it. Thank you for inviting me, and thank you for listening, because I know I sometimes can probably speak way too much.
Never.
No, not at all.
Never.
You were great.
Thank you. And Ted, I hope that you now are a little bit more intrigued about wearing fragrance and maybe even creating and making your own.
That would be an interesting conversation to have, to see what you would come up with. Yes, and thank you for giving me another perspective on colognes and perfumes. So thank you for joining
me. My pleasure. I just looked at the link. So it's you look at fragranceday.org. So the link is https://fragranceday.org. And you'll see what's happening on Sunday and Monday, March the 21st and the 22nd. I'll be on Monday, the 22nd, at between 4 and 5. I have a video. I'll probably be doing a little talk. But there's so many people and so many beautiful brands that are there. So if anybody who's interested, just look at fragranceday.org.
Yep, perfect. Very good. Great. We got it.
That concludes
thank
our
you
show.
So much. It was lovely to talk to you both. And thank you so much for the opportunity. And stay safe, stay well, and be fragrant.
Yes, you too.
I love your innovative. I love your innovativeness with words and tying them in with fragrance. So I love it. So thank you for joining us.
Well, I'll leave you with this one. It was a entertaining experience, Ted.
Perfect way to close the show. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, guys. Take care. All the best. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you. And for our listeners, please don't forget to stay tuned for my Woman of the Year event. That starts March 31st. I'm super excited about it. Ted, it's been an absolute pleasure once again. And we'll see you all next week.